I came to Deal to be the manager of a newly created Dover and Deal Community Mental Health Team, which was an initiative that Kent County Council was setting up at the time. The mental health teams were set up as an initiative of Kent County Council round about 1985 anyway. And the reason they were set up was to provide a much more coherent community response to mental illness, to make sure that people didn't have to go into a psychiatric hospital unless they absolutely have to. Now, in order to do that, that meant expanding our community resources and actually putting in place all sorts of services that we didn't have until then. And that would be things like support services, group homes, and all sorts of other things, basically, to keep people out of a psychiatric hospital. Having said that, about 9 months previous to me coming, there had been the Herald of Free Enterprise disaster, and as a result of that, there was a lot of focus on psychological care for people affected by that particular disaster.
So, in a way, Kent was leading the way, showing the way?
I think it's fair to say that Kent was very much leading the way in two things. One is by setting up these community mental health teams. The other was by setting up what turned out to be really quite a complex and elaborate operation over the what was then known as the Herald Assistance Unit. In fact, the all of one building, which I think is number 7 Cambridge Terrace in Dover, was taken over by the Herald Assistance Unit, and it must have occupied at any one time about 24 people.
Right, so it was a busy unit.
The focus actually was very much around psychological support for those who were involved in the disaster. For example, particularly members of the crew, those who hadn't been involved, because I think they were probably equally psychologically vulnerable, families, but equally those in fact who had been on the ferry but he lived away from Dover, and it was in fact divided into two things. There was a home team and an away team. And a lot of very good work on the home team was done in sort of smaller groups with people involved. In the away team, as far as I remember, there was a lot of very good outreach work being done so that people could actually understand that. And from there grew an interest in psychological care of victims of disasters, which I think would be fair to say was a kind of very much a fledgling interest until then.
With your very interesting background, you were talking earlier about Central European links, was this something that led you to wanting to be in psychological work? Did you grow up saying, oh, I want to be a doctor, or I want to be a dentist?
Not particularly. I think it's just something that sort of took me, and probably a few friends and colleagues that sort of influenced me in that direction.
Well, you've arrived down in this part of the world, and you're in there in 87, and then only a year or two later, we're hit with the bombing here at Deal. I wonder, yeah, Ben, if you could say a little bit about the 22nd of September.
I think before, just a minute before that, Mike, it's worth saying that between the Herald disaster and September 1989, there was a lot of interest in preparation for psychological care. And we had been doing a fair bit of training and preparedness so that should something like Deal actually come along, we would be prepared as official services. On the 22nd of September, which was a Friday, I believe, wasn't it? I was, at the time, at my district manager's office when we heard that there had been an incident in Deal. We were being told that there was an explosion of sorts, but without being able to confirm what was going on. I went back to my office in Dover, and gradually a picture was becoming clear that there was something that had happened of a very, very major proportion. News stories were flashing up at the time as well. And I assembled and sent over to Deal a psychological, what we called a psychological response team, consisting of nurses and social workers.
Did you sort of say to them, go straight to the barracks? Did they have any problem getting in? Because I know security have become pretty tight.
Well, I think that, frankly, one of the things we had to understand from there was that there was a kind of temptation to overdo things, because once they got to the barracks, the whole place was full of Padres, Salvation Army, WRVS, military people, and frankly, this was not the time or place for what you know, in effect was a crisis support team from the statutory services to be at that time.
So having arrived, were you with them at that
I
moment?
I was not with them, no. But in fact, I think we must have had one of the first mobile phones at the time, maybe, I think. If they were still, they must have been invented just then. But I talked to my deputy, and he said, look, frankly, there's no point just being here. We might as well come away. There's just too many people on site. There's nothing really we can achieve. One of the lessons we took from all of that is that you just don't rush in. Yeah. To a scene because you think you might be wanted. We learnt a lot at that time about forward response, about kind of liaison, maybe getting somebody along to liaise for the services before you get a team in. But of course that was new for us at that time.
I think it becomes quite clear that there are those who, as you say, are very necessary in the first instance, like the fire, ambulance, police, and then of course it's quite clear that your team had a definite role as time went on, as the days went by.
Well, the theorists, Mike, actually described the response in three stages. First is the immediate psychological handholding. This kind of being there, being with people. The second is what's called critical incident stress debriefing, in which you actually kind of over the following few days work with people to actually understand what they were going through, really get them to say verbatim, as you're doing with me now, what actually happened for them. The third stage is really longer term repair. That at the time was the theory of how things ought to be done. I need to say at this stage we also had King's Cross, didn't we? And we had Hillsborough as well, a cluster of disasters. I think we learned that actually the theory isn't quite as straightforward as the reality. These phases merge one to the other, and this sort of idea that, you know, you'd all go out to the sort of high street and kind of pick up people and work with them wasn't quite straightforward. And also, I think, in kind of taking these ideas forward, we, I don't think, accounted for the fact that, you know, the Vicars, the Salvation Army, the community will have their own resources.